And if the Lord would bless me for a little while this morning, I'd like to bring you a message that I would entitle, The Lord Passed By. The Lord Passed By. Now, as you look to that expression that you sometimes find in Scripture, you'll find it's really not used that many times. It may only be used a couple of times, but it's an expression that has something similarly used to it many times. For example, you might get into the New Testament and you'll read that Jesus passed by. So the Lord passed by and Jesus passed by. That's essentially saying the same thing. Or when the Lord was speaking to Moses, he said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I will pass by. So it's essentially the same thing, but we're going to entitle it for simplicity's sake this morning, The Lord Passed By. Now, even though we find an expression like that used many times in Scripture, we have to understand this morning that not every time it talks about the Lord passing by does it mean the same type of passing. Passing by in one instance may not be the same passing by in another instance. And so let me boil it down this morning and say this. We do not want the Lord to pass us by, but we want Him to pass us by while passing us by. You say, well, Brother Nathan, that's a very confusing statement. Well, let's see if we can make some sense of it this morning. And I think we'll come to understand that there's actually three ways in which the Lord passes by. So keep that in mind. We don't want the Lord to pass by, but we want Him to pass us by while passing us by. Now, the first type of passing by that the Lord does is probably one that you think of most often. And that is a passing by as in the Lord is just going to keep on going. That He's just going to walk right past you and just keep on going in a direction away from you. We sang that hymn this morning, and certainly the hymn writer was talking about that passing by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. So the hymn writer had the desire to have fellowship with the Lord. The hymn writer had the desire that he didn't want the Lord to forsake him. And certainly that's something that we should have as a great desire of ours. But this passing by, like you think of perhaps a car passing you on the interstate, that's one way in which the Lord can pass us by. And we don't want the Lord to pass us by in that way. Now, if you look to Genesis chapter 18 this morning, you'll see there an example where Abraham was visited by three men. And of those three men, one was in fact the Lord Himself. I believe two were angels, and one was the Lord Himself. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, how do you know that the Lord was one of the three? Well, first of all, we see this morning that Abraham had prior experiences with the Lord. He had had communion with the Lord. He had met with the Lord on prior occasions, and he recognized one of these men as the Lord. And certainly Abraham would know, this is the Lord. He's here. He's come to visit and to fellowship with me. But there's also something else special about one of these men. He bowed down before him and called him Lord. Now, if these three men were just angels and one was not the Jehovah God Himself, these angels, I believe, would not have tolerated Abraham bowing down and worshiping before them. If you go over to Revelations chapter 19 and about verse 10, I believe it is, you'll see where John there is falling down before an angel. And the angel says, stand up, see that you do it not, for I am a fellow servant of the Lord. You see, an angel of the Lord is not satisfied with being worshipped by men. They recognize that only the true and living God is the proper person or the proper place for us to direct our worship. And so I believe, again, that's showing that one of these men was the Lord. He'd had prior experiences. He bowed down before Him, and He's calling Him Lord here on this occasion. Well, as we read there in Genesis chapter 18, we find that Abraham makes a plea then to the Lord, and he says, pass not away from me. You know, what Abraham is saying there is, Lord, You're here. We're having a time of fellowship. Don't leave me. I don't want You to pass away from me. Pass not away from me. Certainly that shows, again, a great desire to have communion with the Lord. And that ought to be our desire this morning, that we have great communion and fellowship with the Lord. We don't want Him to just simply pass us by and go on and keep going away from us, if you will. Another example of this you might find is in Luke chapter 24. After the resurrection of Christ, we find that two were walking on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord himself is there walking along beside them, and he's expounding to them all the scriptures in which the Old Testament is speaking of himself. Now that must have been quite a conversation to have had with the Lord. You know, we can talk about Moses being a type of Christ, and we can look at Moses writing about Christ, and David being a type of Christ, and David writing about Christ. And you know, it takes us a very long time to kind of lay some of those things forth. Well, the Lord must have just got right down to the brass tacks and started telling them, because on this road he expounded all the ways that the Lord was, that he was prophesied of in the Old Testament. But he's walking along with these two on the road to Emmaus, and they're getting to their stopping point, if you will, and the Lord gives them the indication. Now, of course, you know the story. They don't know that this is the Lord himself. You understand that. But this man that is walking with them, who they don't know is the Lord, he gives them an indication that he would go further. That is, they got to where they needed to be, and he gave the indication, well, I'm just going to keep on going. That is another way of saying the Lord's just going to keep on passing. He's just going to keep on going. And notice what these two did there on that occasion. They constrained him that he would stay with them and have dinner and fellowship with them. They constrained him. Isn't that interesting this morning? You know, the Apostle Paul says that the love of Christ constraineth us. The Lord in many respects constrains us. That is, we should live our lives according to his will and his good pleasure. But these two, they constrained the Lord. They said, Lord, well, they didn't know he was the Lord, but they said, don't keep on passing by. Just stay with us a little bit longer. They pleaded for this person who was the Lord to stay with them. Then again, that should be our desire this morning, that we don't want the Lord to just keep on passing by. We want him to stay and have sweet fellowship and communion with us. And sometimes you might ask yourself the question, well, why do I face the problems that I face in life? Why does it feel like I don't have the communion that I want and desire with the Lord? Well, ask yourself the question, are you constraining the Lord? Are you grabbing hold to him that he might stay with you? You say, well, it seems like our worship services aren't what they should be. It seems like we haven't felt the Lord's presence in a while. Are we constraining the Lord that he would be with us in this place? Don't just pass us by, but rather meet and make your presence known with us. And look at this. They had a wonderful blessing that came out of constraining the Lord. He stayed with them. He communed and supped with them. And it says that their eyes were opened. They received a wonderful blessing by the Lord being there and having constrained them to stay in that place. So we don't want them to keep passing us by, but rather we want to, again, constrain them. We want to cry out to him in an effort to constrain them and receive many of the blessings that he has in store for us. Another example of the Lord just passing by, and perhaps how we ought to be in order to prevent the Lord from passing by, is found in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 46, we come to the occasion where the disciples are toiling in the sea. And there's a great storm and tempest that's about. And the Lord is not with them in the ship at this present time. The Lord is on the shore, if you will. And we find in Mark chapter 6, and I believe it's about verse 46. I'm not taking time to turn there this morning. But we find there where the Lord would have passed them by. That is, the Lord was just going to keep on walking. He saw them out there toiling, and he was just going to keep on going. But yet seeing them toiling, and then them crying out for help, he didn't just keep on going, did he? He stopped. Rather than passing them by, he actually gave them comforting words. He said, "Fear not, it is I." And then he rebuked the winds and the waves and calmed the storm. Dear friends, that's a wonderful lesson, I believe, for every life of the child of God. When you feel like the Lord may be passing you by, or you certainly don't want the Lord to pass you by and you want to prevent it, you need to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, don't pass me by." And look at the wonderful blessings they got from this. They received comfort in their time of need, and they were given a great salvation from the storm at hand. Just like the hymn writer said, "Hear my humble cry." He was crying out, "Lord, don't pass me by." And certainly, again, that should be something that all of us try to implement in our lives. But I look back at my life, maybe you can look back at your life, and I wonder how many times have I let the Lord pass by? How many times have I been willing and, in fact, perhaps glad that the Lord has just kept on going? You know, that's kind of sad, really, when you think about it. But there have been, I believe, times in my life when I just let the Lord pass me by, and I regret it now. I look back to times, perhaps, when I had an opportunity to have fellowship with the Lord, maybe in the house of the Lord, maybe private communion with the Lord in prayer or singing hymns to myself or whatever the case may be. I had an opportunity and I just let it go on by. I just let it pass me by. I said, now it's not a convenient time. I really don't have time for communion and fellowship with the Lord right now. He's just going to let them pass on by. You know, I think about people that miss church on a regular basis. Those that just don't seem to be interested at all in having special meetings and so forth. You can't get them to church at all except perhaps on a Sunday morning twice a year, once at Easter and once at Christmas. And they just don't understand why they don't have fellowship like they want with the Lord. Well, perhaps it's because they're just willingly let Him pass it by. You know, we come to meet and we hope that we meet in the presence of the Lord to where we can have fellowship with Him. But yet, some, they just say, well, I'm too busy for that. I just don't have time right now. It's just not a convenient season. What are they doing? They're letting the Lord just pass them by. They're giving up that opportunity that they have for, again, fellowship and communion with the Lord. And so, we don't want the Lord to pass us by. We don't want Him to pass us by in that sense. But we do want Him to pass us by in some other senses. One other sense that we want the Lord to pass us by in, and that is overlooking our sins and our transgressions, overlooking our faults and our failures that we have. Of course, we have many in this life, and hopefully we are cognizant of them, and hopefully we're trying to do better day by day and with each passing moment, so to speak. But we all have faults and failures. We all have sinned against the Lord, and hopefully we want the Lord to overlook that. We want some mercy from the Lord, if you will. You know, Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, we read there where the Lord passeth by the transgressions of the remnant. Why? For He delighteth in mercy. Now, we're talking temporally here this morning. Eternally, we understand that Christ is our Passover, right? We understand that eternally. That God, He doesn't necessarily ignore the sins and overlook our sins and so forth, but rather we understand that those were placed on Christ's account. Those were laid on His charge, and He took care of that sin debt that we could not pay. And in that sense, the Lord passes over us because of the work of Jesus Christ in the eternal sense. But temporally, here, Micah is saying that He passeth by the transgression of the remnant, for He delighteth in mercy. And notice in Amos chapter 7 and verse 8 there, the Lord says that He's going to put a plumb line in Israel. He says, I will pass by them no more. I'm going to pass by them no more. So what's the Lord saying there? He's saying, I'm not going to overlook their sins and their transgressions anymore. They've repeatedly sinned against me. They've had warning after warning after warning, and I just can't overlook it anymore. Now there's going to have to be some reaping for the sowing that's taken place. And He's saying that now I am putting in Israel a plumb line. I'm not going to pass them by anymore. You know, a plumb line is something that carpenters use. It's something that bricklayers use. It's something that gives you an absolute vertical line. And you can't question that. There's no changing a plumb line. It's exactly vertical or perpendicular. You're supposed to use it if you're trying to build something perpendicular and make it straight, if you will. And so, you know, what the Lord is saying is your plumb lines that you've used in the past, they're not really true plumb lines. You're not living up to my standard, if you will. Rather, you've tried to justify your own crooked ways. You've sinned against me, and you've kind of tried to move and change your plumb line, so to speak. That's not happening anymore. The Lord's saying, now I'm making sure you understand, my standard is my standard. It's not going to change. It's a perfect standard. There's not going to be any variance from my standard. And I'm not going to pass by anymore. He's saying, it's time that your sins and your transgressions now have consequences in your life. You say, well, Brother Nathan, how can a thrice holy God pass by transgressions and sins? How can one that is thrice holy and cannot even tolerate sin, how can he overlook those things? Well, perhaps understand this morning, dear friends, that when the Lord talks about passing by in the sense of our sins and our transgressions, he's not talking about necessarily overlooking them altogether, but perhaps he's going to be long-suffering with us. Maybe we're sinning today, but we're not going to reap the consequences of that sin today. Maybe he's, again, being long-suffering. Maybe there's going to be some time down the road, perhaps, to where we're going to have to face the consequences for sin in our lives. But maybe he's overlooking it for a time. Or perhaps, as Micah says, he delighteth in mercy. Maybe he's not giving us what we deserve in our lives. You know, none of us want what we deserve, do we? We've all, as I said, sinned against the Lord. And we're all worthy of the chastisement of the Lord. But thankfully that we have a God that delights in mercy. And he doesn't treat us according to our sins and our iniquities. He's very long-suffering and merciful to us. And that's what we want. We want the Lord to pass us by in that sense, don't we? We don't want him to just keep on walking. We don't want him to forsake us. We don't want him to just pass us by. We want to have fellowship and communion with him. But we want him to overlook our faults and our failures. And we want him to pass us by as far as our sins and our transgressions. Unlike Israel, when he said, I'll pass by them no more, we don't want to be in that shape. We want the Lord to be long-suffering continuously with us. So we see there's two types of passing by. Now we come to a third type of passing by. And this is a passing by that the Lord has when he comes to us with a purpose. When he comes to us with a purpose. Now remember, I said, we don't want the Lord to pass us by, but we want him to pass us by while passing us by. Now we're on the third passing us by. We want the Lord to come to us with a purpose. Again, we see in the New Testament several expressions and several times where it talks about Jesus passing by. Now when the Lord passes by, wonderful things take place. Understand that this morning. When the Lord passes by, wonderful things take place. When the Lord passed by, he never was wandering aimlessly. The Lord never had a step that was not for a particular purpose, I believe. Everything in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was for a very direct purpose. And so when it talks about him passing by, it doesn't mean he's just wandering aimlessly and he happens to be passing by something. No, I believe passing by means more than that when it comes to the Lord. He had a purpose in coming to that place at that time and that location. And we want him to pass us by in that sense. The Lord doesn't pass by like we pass by. You know, I pass by things all the time, and I don't recognize anything. You know, I got my blinders on, I got my tunnel vision, and I'm passing by who knows what, and I'm not paying any attention to anything. And just a few weeks ago, I was going south on State Road 9 and crossed over State Road 26, and my wife was in the car with me, and I looked over, and I saw that there was a new house that was built, a completely built new house over here, and I asked my wife, I said, when did they build that new house? When did that happen? And she said, well, that's been there for like a year. Haven't you seen it before? I had never noticed it. I've driven that road many times, but I was just passing by. I had no awareness as to what was going on around me. That's how men pass by. But that's not how the Lord passes by. The Lord passes by with intentions and with a purpose. But sometimes we pass by and we have no intent and we have no purpose, especially when it comes to passing by perhaps somebody that needs help. You know, think about how many cars you pass on the road and you just pass them by. You don't stop and see if they need help. And some of that's understandable in the wicked world that we're living in. I understand sometimes people don't want to stop and help the person that they just passed by because they don't really understand what perhaps might be going on. I understand that, but perhaps we need to do better in that regard. But we just pass by somebody and we have no intention of helping them. And I was reminded of the account of the Good Samaritan. We preached on that a long time ago. You might remember that account. But in the account of the Good Samaritan, there were two men that passed by. The one man that had been robbed and left for dead on the road. And two of the men that passed by before the Good Samaritan got there. One was the Levite and one was the priest. And it says in the account that the Lord gives us in that parable that they crossed over to the other side and they passed by. That is, they had no intention whatsoever of helping that person. They had no intention of bettering that person. They just wanted to get around them as quickly as they possibly could and go on about their business. And that's sometimes how we are. Again, I'm trying to make the point that men pass by differently than the Lord passes by. When we pass by, we don't notice things. And sometimes when we do notice things, we don't care to even help the person in need. We don't care to understand perhaps what's going on. We just want to keep on going about our merry business. But that's not how the Lord is when He passes by. Sometimes when we pass by, again, we have no sympathy, perhaps, for the person that might stand in need of help. Or when we do pass by, sometimes we have, if any intent, we have an ill intent by passing by. You say, well, Brother Nathan, what are you talking about? Well, either we have no sympathy or we have ill intent. I'm reminded of Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12. There we find the prophet Jeremiah is writing, the weeping prophet as they called him, and he's writing about the destruction of Jerusalem. And what a sad state that was in the destruction of Jerusalem. I was reading some in history books and I was made aware or told in some of these writings that there's never been a city, there's never been a kingdom more utterly destroyed than Jerusalem. Never has there been a kingdom and a city laid to waste like Jerusalem was. And this is what Jeremiah is writing about in the first chapter of Lamentations and verse 12. And notice the question that he asked. He says, is it nothing to ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you? The ones that are just going by, that are seeing the destruction, he's asking the question, is it nothing to you? Our beautiful city, our beautiful home of the Lord, it's just ruined. It's just laid in shambles, if you will. He's saying, is it nothing to you? You're just passing by like it's nothing. Have you ever seen sorrow like I'm experiencing sorrow? That's a question that Jeremiah is asking there. And sometimes I ask myself that same question as far as, do I fit into that category? When I pass by, do I just say, oh, that's nothing to me. Doesn't mean anything to me. It's just nothing. I'm just going to keep on going. Yes, there might be great suffering over here, but that doesn't really matter. I'm just going to keep on going. They're suffering greatly. So be it. I'm just passing by. And that's what Jeremiah is asking. Is it nothing to you? But I think Jeremiah, although there was an immediate application there with the destruction of Jerusalem, I think there could be perhaps another application, that is with the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, if you take into account what Jeremiah said, and you hold that in the back of your mind, and then you go over to the New Testament writings in Matthew chapter 27 and Luke chapter 15, you'll find that there were many that passed by the cross of Jesus Christ. And as they passed by the cross of Jesus Christ, what did they do? We're told that they reviled Him, that they railed on Him, and that they mocked Him. And they said, oh, the one that said that He would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Oh, come down and save yourself, if you will. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. You know, as I begin to think about those men at that time that were passing by Jesus Christ, the words of Jeremiah just seemed to mean so much more to me. Is it nothing to you that pass by? Here the Son of God was on the cross of Calvary, paying the sin debt for all the world, and yet these people were passing by and it was nothing to them. It was just a common criminal. It was just a common thief, if you will. They regarded him as nothing special, but yet he hung there on the cross of Calvary, again, making intercession and paying the sin debt for us that we could not pay, but to them it was nothing. And Jeremiah talks about the great suffering. Oh, dear friends, nobody suffered like Jesus Christ suffered when the wrath and the anger of the Lord was poured out upon him at that time of the crucifixion. And he's asking the question, have you seen suffering like this suffering? All those people that passed by, it was nothing to them. They cared nothing for the suffering that was taking place. But they just railed on them. They just reviled them, saying, oh, come down. They just mocked at them, saying, oh, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. They were just passing by, caring nothing. Dear friends, that's how men pass by. Men pass by, they see nothing. They don't want to see nothing. They have no sympathy when they pass by. And if they even have any awareness of what's going on, sometimes they have nothing but an ill intent of mockery when they pass by, to make fun of a person or to make fun of a situation. That's how men pass by. But thanks be to the Lord, that's not how He passes by. When our Lord passes by, wonderful things happen. Now, there was one exception I was going to mention. That is the Apostle Paul. He was not a perfect man. He was the chief of sinners. But there was one occasion, I believe, we found the Apostle Paul had a purposeful passing by. In Acts chapter 17, he goes by Mars Hill, and he's passing by the Athenians there, and he's talking to them about the idol they have set up to the unknown God. I believe that was a purposeful passing by of the Apostle Paul. He wanted to take that opportunity, if you would, to teach them about the unknown God, the one that he says they were ignorantly worshiping. Boy, I don't want to be in that category. You know, there's such thing as ignorant worship, and Paul's saying that's what they were doing. But he took that opportunity again to declare to them about the creator of the ends of the world and the unknown God, as they were calling him. That ought to be our experience. We ought to be more like that, perhaps, where if we're passing by, we ought to be more like our Lord and Savior, like the Apostle Paul was like Jesus Christ, having a purpose in our passing by, and perhaps wonderful things will happen. But we look to the New Testament and we see some examples there of when the Lord passes by and wonderful things happened. One example is in Matthew chapter 20. And there were two blind men that were sitting alongside the road there on that occasion, and were told that the Lord passed by them. Now, these were two men that I said that were blind, and they were crying out to the Lord, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." Very similar to the blind man Bartimaeus, as we remember from times past, crying out to the Lord. But these two were crying out to the Lord, "Have mercy upon us." And the crowd was telling them to hush, just hold your peace. And of course, we know the Lord stood still. The Lord had had time to help his children there, and shows us a wonderful example of how he stops and stands still, even for our needs today in our lives. But he passed by, and we know the end of the story. They were healed of their blindness. We see that again in Luke chapter 9. In verse 1, it starts out, Jesus passed by. There was a blind man there that had been blind from his birth. And of course, some asked the silly question. I've never heard such a silly question, perhaps. They said, well, who did sin against the Lord? Was it him or was it his parents that caused him to be blind? You know, some have the idea that, you know, if you go through infirmities in this life, if you have some illnesses and so forth, that it must be because of sin. Don't understand why that's their reasoning, but that was the reasoning of these religious men at the time. They said, who sinned against the Lord? Was it this man or was it his parents? Because he had been blind from his birth. But the Lord, we're told, he passed by, and by passing by, he healed that man of his blindness. So the point to be made, perhaps, in all of that is one of the wonderful things that happens when the Lord passes by is he heals our deficiencies. He makes us whole, if you will. I'm telling you, we want the Lord to pass by. We don't want him to pass us by, but we want him to pass us by that is overlooking our sins while passing us by. Wonderful things happen when we are with the Lord and He's passing us by. He's healed of His deficiencies and of His infirmities. In Exodus chapter 34, we find where the Lord passes by Moses. As I've already alluded to, He places Moses in the cleft of the rock and He says, "I'll pass by and you'll see my glory pass by." I tell you what, I want the Lord to pass me by and show me a little bit of His glory. I want to see the glory of God rain down from heaven. I want to see it in this place. I want to see it in my individual life. I want to see it in your individual lives as we go forward. Don't you want to see that today? I want to have a little bit of time where I can just say, "This is the glory of God passing me by." Oh, what an experience that must have been for Moses. I can't even begin to comprehend how enjoyable that must have been. And it was just what Moses needed at that time. He needed to have a little bit of encouragement. He needed to have a little bit of strength to go forward in the days ahead. And it was the Lord passing by and revealing His glory that gave to Moses what he needed. And we find perhaps one of the most moving portions of Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 16, where it talks about the newborn babe. Remember the newborn babe that Ezekiel is writing about there, and how it was cast into an open field. It's an allegory, if you will. It wasn't an actual child in an open field, but he's writing an allegory, and the Lord there is speaking through Ezekiel about the nation of Israel and how the Lord has blessed the nation of Israel in a natural sense, delivering them out of Egypt. He says, "You were a newborn babe. You were in an open field. You were polluted in your own blood. You were naked. Your navel had not even been cut. Oh, you stood in need in all these different ways. But then I passed by. I passed by thee. And I clothed thee. And I cleaned thee. And I entered into a covenant with thee. I told you live and you lived and you became mine." Oh, what a wonderful blessing that was to the nation of Israel to be the people of the living God. Wonderful things happened when the Lord passed by. But just as natural Israel had that experience, so too can spiritual Israel have that same experience. And I believe we have had that experience in an eternal sense, and we can have it in a temporal sense, that when the Lord passes by, what happens? He gives us everything that we stand in need of, and He brings about great salvation to us. Wonderful things happen when the Lord passes by. And so, as I said before, there's three ways that the Lord passes by. One of them, we don't want. We don't want the Lord to pass us by. That is to just keep on going and forsake us. But we want Him to pass us by. That is overlooking our faults and our failures and being merciful to us. And we want Him to do that while He's passing us by. That is coming to us with an intent and with a purpose where He might heal us of our deficiencies, where He might reveal His glory in our lives, and where He's going to provide everything that we stand in need of and bring about a great salvation for us. Go home and study upon this a little bit more. I don't know if I did it justice this morning or not, but go home and study it, and maybe you'll find some other ways, perhaps, that the Lord passes by. And I hope the Lord will bless you in that. Let's stand and sing a hymn this morning.